is the WABC Early News.
All right. Well, traffic is getting gradually worse and worse. And the man to help guide you on your way to work, he has traffic and transit every 10 minutes on the 7s, is Joe Nolan, a veteran traffic expert. Hello, Joe.
And good morning, Frank. Good morning, Juliet. And we're off to a decent start as you travel on the southbound side of Route 9 in Sayreville, though we have a bad accident from the overnight, apparently right by the Garden State Parkway. There's down pole, down wires. The right lane is out. So as you head southbound on Route 9 in Sayreville, you're going to have that problem. Staten Island horizontal lower level closed, that for road work. We also have a problem getting on the turnpike at the James Fenimore Cooper service area. That's the one between 5 and 6. Apparently a tractor trailer fire there. And mass transit in pretty good shape. Alternate side again today is going to be in effect with traffic on the 7s. I'm Joe Nolan. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, it is going to be a decent day early in the day, but then it is going to turn nasty. We're going to have partly cloudy skies with afternoon showers. However, they may turn into thunderstorms depending on where you live, and some of these storms could be pretty severe. I'm worried about my mom. She's supposed to be flying down to Miami today. It's probably not the best day to fly.
Well, is she flying early or late?
I don't know. I've got to get in touch with her. Maybe she can reschedule if she's flying late. Anyway, yeah, like these storms are going to be pretty rough and they should continue. The chance of them should continue into the evening. Cloudy skies after midnight, 69 degrees. So it will get cooler in the evening and that will bring us a less humid day by tomorrow. Thursday, we're only going to get up to about 84 degrees. Well, not only, that's pretty significant, but it's going to be a lot less humid, which is good. Friday, unfortunately, we're looking at clouds, rain developing later on in the day, and it could be steady throughout the evening and into Saturday. But it looks like the rest of the Labor Day, Memorial Day weekend, looks pretty nice, which is cool. 65 degrees right now in the city.
Well, perhaps this explains the increased police presence that I was describing at the Brooklyn Bridge yesterday. Charges are pending for an individual accused of driving through protesters on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, how nice.
Leaving three injured. The driver has not been identified. This as demonstrations here in New York City commemorating the one-year anniversary of George Floyd's death lasted late into the night. The NYPD also tweeted out photos around 10:30 last night depicting trash and traffic cones strewn across a city street, asking people to refrain from lending to dangerous and hazardous roadway conditions. Meantime, Mayor Bill de Blasio kneeled in honor of Floyd while Reverend Al Sharpton called for federal legislation to be passed. Mayor de Blasio and Al Sharpton knelt for 9 minutes, the amount of time that that police officer knelt on George Floyd's neck.
It was a momentous day for the Biden administration yesterday after, excuse me, a pretty middling start. The White House says the U.S. has hit a milestone. A full half of adult Americans are now vaccinated. The president says he's aiming to get nearly three quarters vaxxed by the 4th of July. Vaccination incentives and community outreach seem to be helping get hesitant folks those much needed jabs. And more great news. As of this past weekend, the U.S. reported just 13,000 new COVID cases. That's down from 61,000 at the same time last month.
Wow.
That is really
absolutely
fantastic.
Very significant.
Yeah.
Democratic candidates for New York City mayor are making their stance clear on who should lead the NYPD, at least some of them. Reverend Sharpton hosted a debate at the National Action Network last night with Ray McGuire and Sean Donovan, somewhat vowing to bring in a person of color as police commissioner. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, Maya Wiley, Catherine Garcia, and Scott Stringer did not make any promises, while Andrew Yang says he wants to bring in a civilian as commissioner. Diane Morales canceled due to a family emergency.
Texas now has one of the strongest pro-gun laws in the country. Lawmakers there passed a bill allowing residents to carry concealed handguns without any permit or even any training. Representative Matt Schaefer, a Republican who authored the bill, says it's also the strongest Second Amendment legislation in the state's history. One critic on social media, however, begged to differ, saying, quote, Texas is one bill away from making it totally okay to kill someone as long as it's with a gun.
The Manhattan District Attorney is putting together a special grand jury to decide if former President Donald Trump or his company should face indictment. The investigation has been going on for almost 2 years, with grand juries issuing two subpoenas to gather evidence. No charges have been filed yet, but the special jury will sit for a longer period of time.
It wasn't that long ago that President Biden says he met with Russia's president, looked into his eyes, and declared, I don't think you have a soul. That was back in, I believe, 2008. 2011 when Biden, of course, was vice president, which is why I, for one, would love to be a fly on the wall at their first face-to-face since this recent election. And we now know when that is. The White House confirming the two will meet next month in Switzerland. On the agenda, restoring predictability and stability to the U.S.-Russia relationship, which is fairly fraught right now. Insiders say the meeting will likely be markedly different from the one between former President Donald Trump and Putin in 2018, when Trump stuck up for Putin when asked about the Russian interference in the election drama.
The New York City Council is looking to pass legislation to get people out of homeless shelters and into permanent housing. The bill would require the city to pay higher rates in its rental assistance program for homeless people, and it eliminates the five-year cap for people it serves. Advocates say that these changes will make more apartments available for people who are experiencing homelessness. A vote on the measure is set for this week.
There has been quite a bit of talk of late about aliens, as you know.
Yes.
You're one of the people that loves this stuff, as am
talking.
I. Well, leading many former skeptics to warm up to the idea that extraterrestrial life may indeed exist. I mean, we're starting to see things that I think are convincing even some of the skeptics like me. I was one. Famed Harvard physicist and UFO believer Avi Loeb, I know you're familiar with him, he thinks the situation is so serious that Earth's leaders need to make treaties with these extremely foreign civilizations. Otherwise, there may not be an Earth. The treaty would be modeled, he says, on the 1963 nuclear test ban, prohibiting countries from testing nukes on Earth and in space. So he obviously thinks that we're already dealing with some of these foreign.
Well, that's interesting, because in the book that he wrote, and I interviewed him about it, and I lent you that book as well, he believes that this thing that we thought was a comet, was an alien piece of technology, some sort of an alien probe of some sort. And in the book, at least, he doesn't really get into intelligent life having communicated or having been here already. He seemed to think, in that book anyway, that alien technology was the closest we've come to that.
Well, perhaps he is just talking about when we do confirm. But I don't know, when you look at all of these images and the videos taken from the fighter jets and from people who are the top of the class when it comes to being, I guess, reliable in this country and in the military. And they're saying, we're seeing this stuff and we don't know how to explain
it. Well,
it's a pretty big deal.
The people in the 60 Minutes piece, including Lou Elizondo, ran the ATIP program, experienced fighter pilots. You know, these are not crackpots that are seeing all this stuff. And yesterday I spoke with the fella who recently published, who publishes a lot of these videos that are leaked to him from Pentagon officials. His name's Jeremy Corbell. And if people really want to hear an in-depth discussion, I would encourage them to go to the website, WABCradio.com, and then under podcast, search for my name, Frank Morano, and listen to that interview with Jeremy Corbell, because he really, I think, made a very persuasive case.
It is truly unbelievable. Well, it is time now for Christian Arnold. Do we have a name for you?
No, I don't have the resume that Sid has.
X-Gen. Right. Oh, that's good. That's like X Games.
Yeah, it works. Sports
X-Gen.
Motif. I like it.
I'm going to say it like that, too.
Well, Christian's Corner, how about that?
That's not
no,
bad.
No, that's
either.
Like a child. It'll sound like a nursery school.
Not bad either. Juliet, you'll like this story. The Nets taking a 2-0 series lead in their series with the Boston Celtics with the 130-108 win last night in Game 2. Kevin Durant leading the way with 26 points. Joe Harris scoring a playoff career high of 25 points, making 7 3-pointers, while James Harden added 20, and Kyrie Irving put up 15. By the way, Kevin Harris's 25 points, 15 of them coming in the first quarter. This was him talking about his big game.
Tonight was one of those situations where I just had a lot of open looks early, and then you get the confidence going, start hunting a little bit more, and guys are looking for you.
Nets and Celtics play Game 3 on Friday up in Boston. Julius Randle is named the NBA's most improved player. The forward was named an All-Star for the first time this year in his seventh season as a pro basketball player. One of my favorite parts of the story, though, is his 4-year-old son, Kaiden, came out and presented him with the award the other day at practice. The Yankees had their 6-game win streak snapped by the Blue Jays in Toronto in the form of a 6-2 loss. Even worse, Corey Kluber exited the game with right shoulder tightness in the third inning. The team said he'll be tested further today, including an MRI. The Mets win 3-1 in Flushing. Jacob deGrom gave up just one run in 5 innings of work. The Mets now atop the NL East still with a 22-20 record. And unfortunately for the Mets, and some bad news, Noah Syndergaard was removed from his Port St. Lucie rehab game down in Port St. Lucie for precautionary reasons. That was the only statement the Mets gave on the topic. And the Islanders go for a series win tonight at the Nassau Coliseum in Game 6 with the Pittsburgh Penguins. This sports report is brought to you by Peerless Boilers. Check them out at PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com. They do make America's best boilers. With sports at 15 and 45 on the WABC Early News, I'm Christian Arnold.
Question.
I like it. 5:17, let's check in with Joe Nolan, who's got traffic and transit on the 7th. Hello, Joe.
And hello, Frank. Hello, Juliet. Staten Island bound for Arizona, lower level. All lanes are closed. Again, construction there. That'll continue. Southbound Route 9 in Sayreville, right by the Garden State Parkway. There is an accident. Down pole, down wires. The right lane going to be out of service as you get through there. Now coming inbound, Lincoln, Holland, George. All three look to be in pretty good shape. LIE, northern, southern states, building up a little bit coming into the city, but really nothing terrible. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations are in effect. This report of service of Wendy's, Juliet, it's Wendy's Frosty Chino, a cold brew, Frosty Creamer. So wake up with a breakfast Baconator, seasoned potatoes, and a little Frosty in your coffee. And make your good morning great. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7, Stock Radio 77 WABC.
Someday they're going to have to send us over some of those things.
They should.
A nice blop of that stuff right in your coffee. Oh, sounds good.
There is a Wendy's right down the block.
Too. Is there? Is it open?
I believe it probably opens around 6.
We got to get somebody down there. All right. Thank you very much, Joe Nolan. I'm again sorry I missed this event on Friday. Interest rates are out today. Frank is going to tell you all about that. And coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, a custom catered tour of Europe just for you, your family, and your friends. I'm going to tell you how to do it without breaking the bank.
This is the WABC Early News.
The opening bell rings this morning after markets finished yesterday in the red. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 81 points. The S&P 500 fell almost 9 points. And the NASDAQ dipped 4 points. The weekly report on mortgage applications and interest rates comes out this morning. Applications have been falling more often than rising for much of this year. Last week saw a modest increase of 1.2%, and the national average interest rate was 3.15%. The report is due at 7 o'clock this morning.
That was a fantastic report.
Thank you. I'm glad you're interested in interest.
Okay, I've got two stories that are just going to make you crazy. Well, at least they make me crazy. A horrifying air raid situation. Well, it actually happened, I think, on the ground. But, you know, air raid sounds good because it was in a plane. It happened on a Southwest flight from Sacramento. They were supposed to be heading to San Diego on Sunday. A woman flipped out after a flight attendant told her to buckle her seatbelt for her own safety.
You're kidding.
How dare that flight attendant? Witnesses say this 28-year-old passenger went into a rage, getting up, punching the female flight attendant so hard in the face that she knocked her teeth out, two of them. I mean, Viviana Quinones was escorted off the plane. She is charged with felony battery and was released on $35,000 bail. But that's not going to be all she's dealing with, because the FAA is going to come after this one. You know, I've told you about some of these crackdowns that they've made. They're going up to $50,000 in fines. This woman is never flying again. And I couldn't be happier about that. And then I'll get to the next one after you do your story. I got to find it,
folks. Fleet Week New York returns today, following a virtual format for the second year in a row. The event, run by the Navy, starts today through Monday. It canceled in-person events back in February because of COVID-19. Fleet Week 2020's virtual ceremony was considered successful, with 170,000 people tuning in to celebrate. In 2019, more than 100,000 people participated in Fleet Week.
You know what I loved about Fleet Week? When I was single, you'd go out there cruising for the officers.
Well,
totally.
So you wouldn't date regular sailors, just officers?
No, I would not. No, because they're too young for me. Yeah, to date the officers. I'm only kidding. I didn't do that. I'm totally joking. But what I did do, and what I think everybody should do, is if you see these guys out, you buy them a round of drinks.
Yes.
Well,
are they going to be in New York? Or because it's virtual, are they not going to be here?
Well, I'm sure there will be some here, just, you know.
Hanging out?
Yeah. All right. This is a really upsetting story out of the Chicago suburbs. I wanted to bring it to you because I saw the pictures of what happened. And frankly, I just got so angry. And thank you to Gabby, by the way, for getting the story to me, because I don't think I would have seen it. Basically, here's what happened. There's a 13-year-old little girl at the Gardner Grade School. She's a seventh grader. She was attacked by a class bully, one of her classmates, another seventh grader, a girl. This bully beat this little girl named Charlie so bad that, speaking of knocking teeth out, she knocked out two of Charlie's front teeth.
When I go to a store, I get scared because people stare at my face, and I look back all the time because I feel like there's somebody's going to trip me again.
Oh, this
terrible!
You should see the pictures. I posted it on my Twitter account at Juliet Heidi TV. My blood is boiling just thinking about it. The school calls it an incident of student misconduct, but Charlie's family says that's pretty much it. You know, like nothing really has gone on. So now apparently the bully won't be back at school for the rest of the year. Whoop-de-doo. The rest of the year is like, what, 2 days or something? I mean, summer's here. The school superintendent hasn't returned emails and calls from the local Fox affiliate, but they did send a letter to families alerting them to the incident, which apparently happened Thursday in Charlie's gym class. As someone who was bullied, I can tell you, and I'm sure a lot of you out there can identify, the message it sends when the adults don't follow up on this kind of thing is such a bad one. Mm. And I can understand why that little girl is scared to be walking around.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so I'm sorry. It comes out of the, you know, left field, but it's one of those stories. I'm actually going to call the superintendent.
Good. I hope you do.
And you guys are welcome to as well.
The thing in Hudson Yards is gearing up to reopen following a string of suicides. The popular honeycomb-shaped staircase closed in January after three people took their own lives over the past year. Hudson Yards is taking a suicide prevention approach, which means visitors will have to be with at least one other person when they explore, and there will be a larger security presence. Tickets will be free to the first hour of every day, but will go on sale today for $10 a pop.
Hmm. One other person. Why can't they just do like chicken wire or something? Or spikes?
I don't know. I guess they think you're going to be much less likely to kill yourself if you have a buddy. I don't know.
Mm. Okay. Well, one of the former president's chief advisors has agreed to spill the beans. Trump White House counsel Don McGahn will face questions behind closed doors by House Democrats. On the agenda, what he knew about 45's alleged efforts to obstruct the Russia investigation. More specifically, what he knew about the order to fire investigator Robert Mueller and pretty much anything else mentioned in the controversial Mueller report. The news comes on the heels of mounting legal pressure from all sides to expose more about what went on behind the scenes of the Trump White House.
A New York native known for his musical talents as Sebastian the Crab in The Little Mermaid has died.
Oh.
Samuel E. Wright appeared in multiple films over the course of his 50-year career and was nominated for 2 Tony Awards. He died at the age of 74, but his cause of death was not revealed. Montgomery town officials wrote, Sam and his family have impacted countless Hudson Valley youth, always inspiring them to reach higher and dig deeper to become the best version of themselves.
He's only 74?
74.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
He was good in that film.
Under the, that's a great song. Great song.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I just wanted to say, maybe we should go to traffic and transit on the 7th.
Absolutely.
Because I've got lots of long stories to get to.
All right. And when we come back, I'll tell you exactly where you're going to need a mask in the state of New Jersey and where you won't need a mask in the state of New Jersey.
Oh.
A fellow that's going to be following that news very closely is a gentleman who is having a big event in the state of New Jersey on Friday, and that's Joe Nolan. How are things going for that, Joe?
Good. I think we're good to go down there. I think because it's going to rain, so we're going to move inside. But I think from what everybody's telling me, we're going to be good to go. So,
well, I don't know. Is it worth me doing the 2-hour drive from Midtown if it's going to rain? Is that going to put a damper on the festivities?
No.
It'll just be inside. It'll be awesome. In fact, we've always done it inside. The only reason we were going to do it outside because they told us we couldn't do it inside.
I see.
So we're going to. It's going to be inside.
And we are going to carry Joe Nolan's salute to Jersey.
Yeah, how about this, Juliet?
Yeah.
Live on WABC.
That's great, Frank.
At 2:30. I didn't ask permission of anybody. I just said, all right, we're going to do it. He's doing it anyway.
Oh.
We might.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Maybe I should wait.
No. Promote it. Because if I'm here, and we'll put it up.
You have to do it now.
Yeah, we're going to do it. It's in. All right. We're going to promote the traffic on the 7th. 527. How's it look,
Dave?
Joe?
I knew nothing about this. Southbound Route 9 in Sayreville, approaching the Garden State Parkway, an accident, down pole, down wires, right leg going to be out. If you're Staten Island bound, horizontal, lower level, all lanes are closed. Again, that with road work, that should be out of the way, though, very, very shortly. Coming inbound, Lincoln, Holland, George, all three still with only minor delays. And just basically, that's what we have, a pretty decent ride. There is a new construction pattern, though, coming inbound at the Lincoln Tunnel. One lane is only open, apparently, on the Route 3 approach, so that might cause some issues. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations are in effect. We have delays on the L and the N with traffic on the 7s. I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
New Jersey is one day closer to dropping its indoor mask mandate for fully vaccinated people. The restriction will be lifted Friday, roughly a week after several other states, including New York. This, as the state announced 423 additional cases yesterday and confirmed 24 deaths related to the virus. Murphy's previously said New Jersey isn't yet out of the woods, but more than 4.1 million residents are now fully vaccinated.
And coming up in your Jet Set, Julia, travel update at 540, Frank. Travel Britain through the eyes of a local, with a local, and your entire family? That sounds awesome. Well, I guess if you like your family. I'm going to tell you how.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Frank.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. WABC News Time 531 on this day, May 26th, 1805. It's a little before my time. Napoleon Bonaparte, Emperor of France already, is officially crowned King of Italy.
And because of that monumentous day, one of our listeners, Al from Manhattan, actually sent a whole bunch of Napoleons for us.
Stop!
He did.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
What? Are you kidding me?
I'm not
kidding.
He
knew that this... Wow. That's wonderful.
That's very nice of
Fantastic.
Him.
Fantastic. Although he did really screw things up in Venice, but we won't get into that.
And Napoleon, not Al from Manhattan.
No, not Al from... I don't know. Has he been to...
I don't know.
But anyway, I do love the story about Napoleon and Josephine. It's a fascinating tale. You have no interest in that.
I have interest.
You have to read some of these books that are on Josephine.
Yeah.
Beauharnais.
I will let you do the reading and tell me about them.
Right. She really got screwed over by him.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
really uncool. Anywho, we've got a lot of stuff to get to today, and just momentarily we'll get to traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan, but we do have some more news to get to. I guess you would call her a QAnon pusher, very controversial woman. Marjorie Taylor Greene is doubling down on her no edit button persona. The Georgia rep posted a message on Twitter Tuesday comparing Nazi Germany making Jewish people wear stars on their arms to the U.S. making unvaccinated people wear masks. The post comes just hours before GOP leader Kevin McCarthy issued his own condemnation of Taylor Greene and her controversial comments. He writes, Marjorie is wrong, and her intentional decision to compare the horrors of the Holocaust with wearing masks is appalling, adding the House GOP condemns the language, too.
A third person has died from gunshot wounds sustained at a party in Fairfield Township. Jeez. Police say 19-year-old Braylon Holmes died at Cooper University Hospital Monday evening. Two others perished on the scene and 11 others were injured. Police have also arrested two guests, charging them with unlawful possession of a weapon, but investigators don't believe they're the suspected shooter.
We always talk about our sleep issues on this show and your overnight show, Awesome, The Other Side of Midnight, because clearly we have strange sleep patterns. So are you struggling with sleep? It could be because you're short-sighted. Listen to this. I don't mean that you don't play the long game short-sighted. I mean that literally you're short-sighted. Myopia, or nearsightedness, is a condition that appears in roughly 30% of adults and 10% of children. And now scientists think they can link it to insomnia. This is really interesting. They analyzed circadian timing and melatonin production in students, and they found that short-sighted people had delayed circadian rhythms and didn't produce as much melatonin as their longer-sighted friends. The findings could help those of us who wrestle with sleep issues, and it could also ultimately bolster treatment of myopia in
children.
Interesting.
Wow. U.S. poison control centers are experiencing an increase in marijuana-related calls. Between 2017 and 2019, the National Poison Data System reported nearly 29,000 calls related to the overconsumption of cannabis. The majority of calls concerned adults. However, 27% of cases involved children under 10 years of age.
Whoa.
Researchers warn parents that children may be particularly at risk for exposure to edible products such as cookies or candy. Researchers place the blame on legalization efforts in a growing number of states.
I have so many comments on that, but I won't make it. Sad news out of England. William Shakespeare has died.
Oh, no.
Obviously not the playwright, the English playwright, but the first man on this planet to get a COVID jab. It happened back on December 8th when he got the COVID jab. December 8th of all days. V-Day.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the Pfizer shot at the University Hospital in Coventry. And here's a little of his soundbite, his little audio.
Groundbreaking, I think. It could make a difference to our lives from now on, couldn't it?
I love the way the Brits always say, couldn't it, at the end. Isn't it? You notice that?
I do.
They say just sort of factual things, but then they ask a question at the end. It's adorable. He became a worldwide superstar, obviously, with his adorable accent and his attitude and, of course, his amazing name. Sadly, though, the former Rolls-Royce employee suffered a stroke on Thursday. He had been suffering from a non-COVID-related illness before that. He leaves behind his wife and their two adult sons. He was 81.
So this is not another vaccine victim, is it?
No.
By the way, that Sid Rosenberg is out today because of his ill effects of the vaccine today.
V-Day was made. Oh, maybe he got it. I don't know. Whenever he got it. I don't know why they say, oh, forget it.
Well,
I don't know what. Go ahead.
A Virginia man is sharing his invention that stops saliva from getting on birthday cakes. Mark Appelt told the Daily Progress newspaper before the pandemic, he watched a kid spit all over their birthday cake as they were trying to blow out the candles. His invention, called the Blowsy, allows people to still feel like they're blowing out the candles, except clean air from a fan is actually what extinguishes the flames. Appelt says he was shocked there wasn't already a device like this on the market.
This was definitely a case of really, really, really lousy timing. A disgraced Catholic priest died literally hours before police were set to arrest him. Richard Levine allegedly admitted to police that he was the last person to see 13-year-old Danny Croteau alive. This was back in 1972. He said, and he admitted, that he beat the boy, but then left him, returning later to find the child floating face down in a Massachusetts river.
Boy.
Mm-hmm. Levine was the boy's pastor back then. He went on to plead guilty in the early 90s to molesting young boys in his parish, and he was finally defrocked in 2003. Prosecutors say Levine had been sick for some time, and the cause of death appears to be pneumonia.
Mm.
They were literally hours away from going and arresting him.
Amazing. 5:37. Speaking of being hours away from arrest, we're very happy to get the word on the traffic until that unfortunate bell comes to toll for thee. Joe Nolan has all the latest traffic and news information for you.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, Juliet. And again, we continue to have delays on Route 9 southbound coming down into Sayreville. And again, we had an accident there a little earlier on. The right lane is out right at the Garden State Parkway. A car came along, took out a utility pole. So that might be a little while before they get that out of the way. Now, if you're heading inbound on the Gowanus BQE at the Prospect, that earlier stall now is gone. So that's good news. And just generally around, things aren't too bad. We do have some delays coming inbound on the expressway as you come out of the city into rather Adanassa into the city, and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. With traffic on the 7th, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Coming up, Frank is going to be talking about what in your business report?
I am going to be talking about something that is very much of interest to you.
You don't know what you're going to be talking about.
No, it does.
Okay.
It involves the cruise industry.
Oh, okay. Good. Nice tease. And in your Jet Set Julia travel update at 5:40, it's the hottest new trend in travel. Customized tour vacations for you and your best pals.
This is the WABC Early News.
The opening bell rings this morning after markets finished yesterday in the red. At the close, the Dow Jones average lost 81 points. The S&P 500 fell 9 points. And the NASDAQ dipped 4 points. A Miami-based cruise line is celebrating what it calls just wonderful news. The CDC yesterday gave Royal Caribbean clearance to start sailing again from Port Miami. Starting June 20th, Royal Caribbean's Freedom of the Seas will operate a simulated cruise with volunteer passengers. Royal Caribbean is the first cruise line to get CDC approval for simulated cruises. And finally, Senate Republicans are planning to send President Biden an infrastructure counteroffer later this week. The proposal could cost nearly $1 trillion, and Republicans aim to offset the spending without increasing taxes. Senator Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, a key player in negotiating with the Biden administration, says they've got good momentum, but she'll wait to see what the White House's reaction is. So far, both parties have disagreed on what should count as infrastructure. Biden also wants to pay for the legislation through tax increases on corporations.
If you guys have been planning, and your Jet Set Julia travel update that I'm giving you right now, if you've been planning a summer vacation, you may have noticed something a little disconcerting. Prices for everything. Travel is definitely rebounding, not just domestically, but internationally as well. But flights and hotels and Airbnbs and tours, they're booking up, and the costs are booking up as well, getting really, really intense. CNBC reports buying a ticket to travel within the U.S. is going to cost you around 10% more than it did just back in April. And as I found out, booking my trip to Italy, international tickets are up nearly 20%. We're usually able to get a good deal, but it wasn't the best deal, but it's worth it. So before you freak out, I don't think this is going to last. The fact is that flights are limited because there aren't enough planes back in the mix, or there really aren't as many routes. They've got to start getting those going again. So once there are more options, the prices will go down. As far as hotels go, interestingly, despite the boom in short-term rentals like Airbnb, demand for hotels is still outpacing supply. And you know what that means. Prices are going up. In Cancun, hotel rates averaged about $160 a night before the pandemic. Now they're around $200 a night. It's not a huge jump, but when you multiply that by, say, five nights, it's a lot of money added to the cost of your trip. Down in the Disney area in Orlando, room rates are actually down a bit, and the same here in New York City. So that's a little bit of good news. So basically, my advice is there are a lot of incredible places to journey, lots of things to see and do. If something is too pricey, just keep looking. You'll find your deal. Speaking of deals, I heard about this, and I really love this idea. So I started reading about it. Customized driving vacations. Basically, it's really just like a tour group, but you get a bunch of your friends together and your family, and instead of a bunch of strangers, you're with people that you know, and you know, it could be 12 people, it could be 20 people. You hire a van or a bus, a private driver, and off you go. For instance, I've always wanted to drive the UK. I've always wanted to just travel, like, basically starting from southern England and go all the way up into Scotland with stops and all the little fairy tale towns and all that business. But, you know, when you take a tour, it's kind of like it's they tell you where you're going to go. I have interests that may not be, they may not coincide with some of the other people in my group. But if you're with your own family and friends, you can work those things out a lot easier. There's a driving vacation tour company that does just this. It's called CIE Tours. They've been around since the 1930s, so you know that they're solid. And basically, they offer tailor-made itineraries in Ireland, Britain, Eastern Europe, Italy, and Iceland. Plus, you have a guide with you to help smooth out any of those annoying itinerary issues. And I think they have an office that just opened up here in New York City. Depending on your budget and how many people you have and what you want to see, they will cater a special tour for you. And the thing that I really like about this particular company is that they offer a range of custom packages for all different types of budgets and interests. They can help you find the right hotels. They could give you a local's take on the best attractions and just, again, give you just a personalized perspective. So you're experiencing these incredible places through a local's eyes. And I just love that concept. I posted a link to the company on my Twitter account at Juliet Huddy TV, so make sure you check that out. I mean, that's something that I wanted to do for my 50th birthday. I wanted to get a bunch of my friends and family and just everybody go over to like Italy or Florence, you know, rent a big, yeah, we've talked about this, rent a big, you know, castle, or, and you can do this and just spend your time. And that's something that you can do where you just say, hey, look, we want to have one home base, you know, a villa in Tuscany, but I want to be able to have a driver that is available to take us all around, you know, and take us on these exciting places and the exciting,
I think
these
that
exciting
sounds
tours.
Delightful.
Yeah. So that's another option. Just like to throw that stuff out there because a lot of people don't hear about this stuff. But I think it's really important to know about it.
Absolutely.
Because it could be really affordable.
It sounds like as long as you're willing to put in the work and looking, there's a lot of good deals to be had.
Well, you know, like this company, I have no affiliation to them. I just saw them and I started reading about them, and they have been around since the 30s, and they seem pretty reputable. And I thought, well, that might be cool.
Well, absolutely.
So maybe that's our trip.
If you ever don't get to hear the Jet Set Juliet travel report, you can check that out on our website at WABCRadio.com. It's also tweeted at Juliet Huddy TV.
Yes, and I will be, after I come back from my Italy trip, which will be at the end of June, we're going to be starting, finally, my Jet Set Juliet travel show. And now that we've got this amazing studio, it's going to be video. You're going to see lots of pictures. I'm going to be showing you all the stuff that I'm shooting while I'm in Italy. I'm going to be doing a lot of work there.
Terrific.
Not that it's work shooting in Italy.
Well, well, that's something to look forward to. One of Southern England's, this is up your alley, most historic properties. Oh, Christian has sports.
Well, just hold that thought.
I will.
Exgen!
Usually I wouldn't say anything, but we do have to do sports here. Juliet, I do look forward to your travel podcasts, especially the ones where you do baseball stadium tours. I know you're such a big baseball fan.
I would love to do that. That's actually a good idea.
Thank you.
Know what? Just for you. I'm going to do that tomorrow.
I love it, Juliet. Speaking of baseball, the Mets, they come away with a 3-1 win over the Rockies last night. Thomas Nito smacking a 2-run home run in the sixth inning.
Hey, Puerto Rican catchers, they hit
this is him talking about
later in their career, you know? No, I'm kidding. But, I always knew I could hit. You know, there was a couple things that I tweaked on my swing, obviously, and it's still a work in progress. I'm not saying I have it figured out by any means.
Thomas Nito again talking about his big game yesterday. Jacob DeGrom coming up with another strong outing, five innings of work with just one run surrendered. The New York Mets 22-20. They sit atop the NL East. The Yankees, they had their six-game winning streak snapped by the Blue Jays in Toronto in the form of a 6-2 loss. Corey Kluber exited the game with right shoulder tightness. The team says that Kluber is being tested today. He will also undergo an MRI exam. The Yankees, they're in third in the AL East at 28-20, just one game out of first place. The Nets, they're taking a 2-0 series lead to Boston for Game 3 on Friday. They came away with a 130-108 win last night at the Barclays Center. Kevin Durant leading the way with 26 points. Joe Harris, a career-high 25 points, 15 of which came in the first quarter alone. And the Islanders, they're looking to party like it's 1993 tonight. They can clinch their series and move on to the second round of the playoffs for the first time. Clinching on home ice at the Nassau Coliseum. Again, this is the team's final year at the Coliseum. They lead the series 3-2. Puck drop tonight at 6:30. With sports at 15:45, I'm Christian Arnold. Again, the sports report brought to you by Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do make America's best boilers. Frank and Juliet, back to you.
Exgen. Excellent job.
Excellent as well. 5:47, let's hear the traffic and transit from Joe Nolan.
Hi, Frank. We continue to have problems on Route 9 southbound in New Jersey in Sayreville at the Garden State Parkway. An accident down pole, down wires. Right lane going to be out if you're outbound George Washington Bridge, the upper level. A disabled tractor trailer in the left lane. That's up at mid-span. Staten Island bound Verrazano, lower level. All lanes are closed. That again with road work. And now a new accident. Southbound New York State Thruway coming down to the Garden State Parkway connector, exit 14A. An accident with injuries and still delays on the L trains. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. This report is a service of Indeed.com. Whether you hire one person or hire up a storm, you can count on Indeed. Indeed has 135 skill tests to help you find the right candidates faster. Indeed skill tests reduce hiring time by 27% on average. More at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Yep. Andrew Yang's wife driven to tears. We will tell you why. After the break.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Well, stay tuned for this one, Juliet. One of Southern England's most historic properties is back on the market after 400 years.
What?
The Newhouse Estate has been owned by the same family since 1633. Oh. The entire property is secluded within the UK's New Forest National Park. It spans more than 900 acres. The interior includes a drawing room, a library, several wine cellars.
A what?
A drawing room and a library.
A library?
Yes, it's British. They don't call them libraries.
No, they call them libraries.
And several wine cellars listed as a grade one structure. It's considered the rarest of England's three historic building categories. The mansion is listed at over $25
million. Oh.
Well, I mean, how much did you think it was going
to? Honestly, because I do look at these types of things, I always go on idealista.com and I look at some of these things are really affordable because of the fact that they're so big. They're right. hard to heat. They're hard to, you know. So, yeah, okay. I've considered this.
So you won't pay the $25 million?
I mean, if I had it, I would.
Okay.
But I don't have it. So that ain't happening. But it is a beautiful building. And I've never heard of it. Maybe if somebody is kind enough, some billionaire out there listening, and they want to help me out.
All right.
More disturbing revelations stemming from that Ryanair flight that was basically, for all intents and purposes, hijacked by agents from the country of Belarus so they could arrest one of the passengers, a journalist who just happened to be a vocal critic of the government. Now, friends and allies of dissident journalist Roman Protasevich say his reports last year on the crackdown by the country's president, Alexander Lukashenko, were an ominous preview of what he is probably going through in detention right now. Supporters say that confession video that aired the other day after his arrest, it shows he has clearly been tortured. In fact, his past stories of tortured screams coming from inside the prison horrified viewers. Hundreds were arrested after taking to the streets of Belarus to protest that dictator. Many were arrested. They were put in those same detention centers that Protasevich is in right now. They were savagely beaten, suffering broken bones, electrical burns, kidney damage, and smashed teeth. And his friends and his supporters say they are definitely doing this to him right now, which is just disgraceful. Mm. This Lukashenko guy is just a monster.
A Major League Baseball pitcher will be sitting in the dugout after getting hurt by taking off his shirt. Indians manager Terry Francona announced Zach Plesac's injury Tuesday. He said the pitcher suffered the non-displaced fracture on his thumb on his pitching hand while rather aggressively ripping off his shirt and hitting his thumb on a chair in the locker room.
Oh.
Cleveland's right-handed pitcher started against the Minnesota Twins on Sunday, surrendering five runs over 3 2/3 innings. When the swelling failed to go down Monday, the team opted for an X-ray, which revealed the fracture.
That's totally something I would do.
Yeah, same here.
That's me. God, I love this guy. Who is it? I wasn't listening.
Zach Plesac.
Hysterical. We probably are related in some way. The wife of New York City mayoral hopeful Andrew Yang is not laughing. In fact, she was crying over a cartoon featuring her husband in New York's Daily News. The drawing features Yang coming out of a subway stop in Times Square with his arms raised as if he's really excited and two souvenir shop owners standing nearby happily exclaiming, "The tourists are back!" The cartoon was created by artist Bill Bromhall. Evelyn Yang posted her response on Twitter, saying it's not only inaccurate because Yang has lived in the city for 25 years, but it's terrible timing given the attacks on Asians, and it's racist. Listen.
It's not funny, it's toxic, and it's hurtful. It is very hard to explain this to our children. Stop promoting hate.
Okay, so I have to say, I looked at the cartoon. I understand that initially the cartoon portrayed him as having just slits for eyes, but they pulled that back. But the cartoon that I see right now, I don't understand how it's racist. I'm trying to, but I don't understand.
So I spoke about this at length at the beginning of The Other Side of Midnight this morning. There is nothing racist about this cartoon, in my opinion. I get callers that are of Asian descent. They didn't see anything racist of it. This is a candidate who, again, I like
Asian.
Andrew Yang a lot.
Yeah.
But he's never voted in a mayoral election. He said that his favorite subway stop was Times Square. Mm-hmm. We don't know which line. He, during the midst of the pandemic, fled to go upstate New York, said that some of the best pizzas he's found has been in the Midwest, and has shown a complete ignorance of all sorts of key public policy areas. So for the Daily News, which is not exactly considered a bastion of conservatism Asian hatred, for them to portray him as not knowing about New York City, I think it's a pretty apt cartoon.
And yeah, that's the thing. I mean, portraying an Asian man looking like an Asian man is is not racist. Right. I mean, if you put an afro on him, maybe that would be concerning. Right. I don't know, I mean, but I just...
If they put one of those, like a samurai sword or a Chinese, you know, rice picker's hat.
Yeah, something. Yeah. Okay. I get it. I'm confused by the whole thing. Okay. Let's stop with the opinions and move on, Frank.
Opinion has no place on the
show. Absolutely not. I just celebrated my grandmother-in-law's 100th birthday over the weekend, as you know. But who knew she was such a youngin'? A new study on human lifespan potential suggests the oldest anyone could realistically ever get is 150, which isn't so bad. Researchers used detailed medical and fitness data from volunteers, including their DNA breakdown, which was all then fed into an AI system. The authors found at least where we are right now medically and technologically, the longest span one can live is probably between 120 to 150. Okay, so why are we not seeing anybody live from 120 to 150?
Well, in the Bible, I feel like people
live like a long time.
Several hundred years.
But then it's funny because then in medieval times, you know, they lived until they were like 30.
Curious. Very curious.
I think it's time to go to traffic and transit on
absolutely.
The 7th.
Absolutely.
With
great
Party
Joe
Boy.
Nolan.
Yes. Ooh. Party Boy Joe.
Absolutely. Getting ready for the salute to the Jersey Shore on Friday.
It's going to be a big day. Going to have
absolutely.
A lot of fun. That's for sure.
I'm looking forward to it. If people want to go, Joe, what's the foundation's website?
The foundation's website is mnolanfoundation.org, mnolanfoundation.org. And we already have a couple of donations from our listeners here on WABC,
terrific.
Which
great.
Is awesome. So, again, thank you very, very much for that. If you're traveling southbound on the New York State Thruway, we're bumper-to-bumper coming down to 14A right to the Garden State Parkway, a tractor-trailer accident. The right lane is out. There are injuries. It looks like there might be a few other vehicles involved. It also seems like it's in the construction zone. So two lanes are open. The far left lanes are open. So as you come down to this, delays are starting to build and build very quickly. Now, southbound on Route 9 in New Jersey, in Sayreville, an accident, Garden State Parkway area, down pole, down wires. They are still working on that. Then outbound George Washington Bridge, tractor trailer on the left lane, upper level, mid-span, and alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations once again today are going to be in effect. This report of service of Dell. Dell Technologies and Windows can help you upgrade your business tech with these Small Business Month specials. Save up to 45% on PCs with Windows 10 Pro, plus business docs, monitors, and more. Work anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Call Dell Technologies Advisor, 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7th Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. In news that'll make you want to rock back and forth in fetal position in a dark corner, Guy Fieri, the celebrity chef, just signed a contract extension with the Food Network. 3 years, $80 million.
Wow.
$80 million. 80.
Amazing.
Guy Fieri. I can't. Is he really that? Is he a great chef or is he just a character?
I don't know.
Ah, man, I really missed out.
Well, you, it's not too late for you.
No, I can't. I can't cook.
Well, maybe you could do
something
else.
I'm just going to make a character out of myself. I'm just going to turn it to just one caricature of myself, a cartoon of myself. Maybe I can load it after that.
Yeah, now you're thinking.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was my story just to end this 5 o'clock broadcast.
All right. Well, we're just getting started. We have an opinion-free half hour coming your way, much to Christian's relief. Christian's also got sports. He's in for Sid Rosenberg, who, no matter of opinion, is not feeling well due to the coronavirus vaccine.
Oh, no. That's right.
That's right.
Oh, no.
And he's going to be out on the Bernie and Sid show today. But I'll give you a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. And we'll have business as well as traffic and transit on the 7s in just a few minutes.
That sounds fabulous.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. It's Wednesday, and hopefully you are spending your Wednesday doing something interesting for the early part of the day, because as you'll hear from Juliet, you are in store for good weather early, poor weather late.
Oh, yeah, and it could be pretty rough, guys, so just be careful out there. I'll give you the full forecast momentarily. Also, I've got news for all you alpha males out there. It's important that you listen up. And John Cena, I don't know. I used to like this guy. And now I'm not a huge fan of him anymore. Oh. I don't like what he did to the girlfriend who's now married and happily and just got kids and stuff like that. But the WWE girl, one of the Bella girls. But anyway, we'll talk all about that and so much more, including the president who is feeling the heat now. It's getting turned up real hot. We'll see if this grand jury decides to indict him or not. And anything you're particularly interested in?
Absolutely. Quite a bit, actually. Here in New York, yet another vaccine incentive coming your way. New Yorkers have a shot at free Knicks tickets if they get the coronavirus shot at Madison Square Garden. This is one of the latest incentives the de Blasio administration has rolled out in an effort to get more people vaccinated. Anyone who gets the vaccine on select days at the Garden, we'll get free Knicks merchandise while supplies last and a chance to win either playoff tickets or tickets to a game next season. Folks also have a chance to win a meet and greet with former Knicks. The Knicks will try and even their first round playoff series against the Hawks tonight. You'll hear more about that in 5 minutes from Christian.
A momentous day for the Biden administration. It was a middling start to the vaccination program, as you probably recall, but the White House now says the U.S. has hit a milestone. A full half of adult Americans are now vaccinated. The president says he's aiming to get nearly three quarters vaxxed. Like that now, vaxxed. By the 4th of July, vaccination incentives and community outreach seems to be helping get some of these hesitant folks these jabs. I know how much you hate it. I know that you think, well, it's going to be ultimately a bad thing.
I do.
I kind of agree with you. But let's just cross our fingers that it gets people in. More great news as well. As of this weekend, the U.S. reported just 13,000 new COVID cases, down from 61,000 at the same time last month. In 1 month, we've halved it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is impressive. A new mayoral poll is good news for Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams. Eric Adams is atop a new poll of Democratic candidates in the race for mayor. Andrew Yang comes in second, and former Sanitation Commissioner Catherine Garcia has surged into third place. In the Fontes Core Decision Analytics Survey, in a similar poll back in March, Yang had a big lead over the crowded field of Democrats running for City Hall. 26% of the 800 likely voters surveyed said they had not yet made a decision on who they would vote for on June 22nd. Now, this is why you really have to make an effort to listen to The Other Side of Midnight, because I started talking about the mayor's race at 1 a.m. yesterday or this morning. And the person that did this poll, George Fontes, happened to be listening and called in. Now, what are the chances? Like a poll that everyone's going to be talking about in the news today. He was listening to me and called in first thing.
But why am I seeing Catherine Garcia ahead?
Yesterday's news.
So this is
a WPIX poll. This is a Fontes Core Decision Analytics Survey.
All right.
Now, I think the fact that we've now, in 3 days, cited three different polls with three different leading candidates is an indication that we don't know really who is ahead.
It makes it very exciting.
It does.
I kind of love it.
It does.
I'm just thrilled that
this is the first year, I didn't mean to interrupt, with ranked choice voting.
Right.
So just because people are ranking Adams, Yang, or Garcia first, that doesn't mean person that's going to be the nominee.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to this. It makes it very exciting.
Yes.
Medical experts, we were talking about COVID. This is an interesting one. Oh, you know what? Let's actually get to traffic and transit on the 7s. I'll tell you about that just momentarily. Hey there, Joe Nolan.
All right, Juliet. Southbound New York State Thruway, bumper-to-bumper approaching the Garden State Parkway connector. A tractor-trailer accident. There were injuries involved. Two left lanes are going to be out of service as you come down to this thing. And this is also one of those big, giant, over-the-road tractor-trailers. So you're going to have some problems southbound on the New York State Thruway for a little while. Outbound George Washington Bridge, the upper level, a disabled tractor trailer, left lane out. Southbound Route 9, right by the Garden State Parkway, an accident, down pole, down wires, and alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations are in effect. And this report is the service of NHTSA. There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. Law enforcement are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. A message brought to you by NHTSA. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joe. It is going to be a pretty lousy day today, I have to tell you. We're going to start off with partly cloudy skies. Then we should see some afternoon showers, and we will have some thunderstorms. Some of them could be pretty severe with strong gusty winds, so be very careful out there. This evening, the scattered thunderstorms will kind of continue on. We'll just get some cloudy skies after midnight, though, but again, look out for those strong, gusty winds. Things will be cooler overnight, but then they're going to start getting warmer again tomorrow. However, the good news is it won't be as humid as it will be today. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow, a high of 84 degrees. Friday, we're looking at clouds with rain developing later on in the day, a steady rain in the evening, and morning showers on Saturday with a low, what high rather, of 61 degrees, which is fairly low. Right now it's low 60s here in New York City.
A 20-year-old man who screamed hateful words at Jews walking into a Brooklyn synagogue over the weekend is apologizing. Daniel Shaukat allegedly yelled slurs and Free Palestine at worshipers who had gathered to pray at a synagogue on 16th Avenue Saturday. Police say he was part of a group of men who tried to gain entrance to the house of worship. And as Shaukat was escorted out of a police station yesterday, he told reporters that he was sorry for what he had done. He's facing hate crime charges and aggravated harassment. Police say he was involved in at least two other bias crimes.
Well, medical experts are honing in on Far Rockaway. The New York City neighborhood has one of the highest COVID death rates in the city, but its residents don't seem to want the vaccine. In fact, just 29% have been vaxxed. The area is mainly Black and Hispanic, and officials say those groups are more leery of the medical community, and an alarmingly large chunk believe in wild COVID conspiracy theories. That is according to other people, not me. So it's a concern. And, you know, the vaccination programs are out there. They're ready and willing to give you that jab. So go for it.
Governor Andrew Cuomo is nominating Nassau County District Attorney Madeline Singus to the New York State Court of Appeals. The Long Island Democrat was first elected to be the district attorney in November of 2015. Cuomo praised Singus, saying she's championed access to justice for all, including creation of an immigrant affairs office to focus on crimes against immigrants. Judge Leslie Stein will be retiring from the position in June.
John Cena of the WWE is in hot water with the people of Taiwan, or more specifically, the government. The WWE superstar was promoting the new Fast and Furious 9 movie when he said during an interview...
Did you say 9?
I think it is.
There are
right?
9 of these movies?
I think so, wow. Yeah. He said during an interview with a Taiwanese network, quote, "Taiwan is the first country that can watch F9. Taiwan considers itself an independent democratic nation. The Chinese government, however, considers it a country gone rogue and have basically suggesting that they're about to reclaim it. President Biden earlier this week issued a warning that the U.S. would help defend the Taiwanese if the Chinese military did advance. Cena, likely not up on his Asian politics, although he is up on his Mandarin, tried a little diplomacy, issuing a mea culpa on his social media accounts, saying, among other things, that he loves China, again, all in Mandarin. And so now the Chinese government may be okay with him, but then the Taiwanese government might not be happy. I don't know. The whole thing is just ridiculous.
So even John Cena caved to the Chinese?
Well, Hollywood caves to the Chinese, as does, pro athletics, so... Not really surprising, is it?
I guess not. Well, it is interesting to see who is going to be caving when it comes to getting electric buses. The MTA is announcing plans to increase the number of electric buses being purchased this year. 60 buses will ultimately be acquired, which is up from a previously announced number of 45. Officials say the move is part of the transit agency's commitment to a zero emissions bus fleet by 2040. The New York Power Authority recently agreed to install 50 overhead chargers for electric buses at 4 MTA bus depots.
All you alpha males out there, listen up. Frank, would you consider yourself an alpha?
I don't know. What's the
definition?
I don't
know that I would consider you an alpha male.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to be, but I think I'm kind of a pushover, actually.
You're kind of an alpha beta male.
Yeah, I don't know.
But a new study found that men with higher levels of testosterone are less likely to get hit hard with COVID. The curious part of this news is that that's exactly the opposite of what researchers thought going into the study. But it turns out guys with lower levels of testosterone are more likely to suffer from conditions like obesity and diabetes, conditions obviously linked with negative COVID outcomes. Scientists say the revelation means testosterone therapy could be key in helping the so-called long haulers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting. Any correlation with respect to women and estrogen levels that we've heard so far?
I have not done that research.
All right.
Yet.
Coronavirus mobile vaccine buses are headed to beaches this Memorial Day weekend. Mayor de Blasio made that announcement yesterday, and he says this is an example of bringing the vaccination to the people in an effort to get more shots in arms. Meanwhile, Mayor de Blasio says people who get vaccinated at Madison Square Garden on select days will get Knicks merchandise and have a chance to win Knicks tickets and meet former Knicks players. New York City has administered nearly 8 million vaccine doses so far. By the way, two of the men that would like Bill de Blasio's job will be debating tonight at 7 p.m., Curtis Sliwa and Fernando Mateo, who are both pursuing the Republican nomination, will face off in a New York One debate.
Interesting. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Seth Rogen momentarily, but first, it is time for X-Gen in for Sid.
Well, thank you, Juliet. Frank, start with the Mets. They win 3-1 in Flushing last night over the Rockies, continuing their stranglehold of the NL East, now 22-20. Tomas Nido smacked the two-run home run that helped them win the game.
And Nido hits one out to deep left center field. Tapia back in the gap, and it's out of here! The ball came back in, but I'm almost certain that ball went out.
Definitely hit the blue M&M's sign. Take this interim step.
Yeah.
And now they call it a home run.
Jacob deGrom pitching five innings, giving up one run. Miguel Castro picking up the win for the Mets, while Edwin Diaz added his save for New York. The Yankees, on the other hand, they had their six-game win streak snapped by the Blue Jays in Toronto in the form of a 6-2 loss. Corey Kluber exited the game with right shoulder tightness in the third inning. The team says that he's undergoing further tests today, including an MRI. Well, the Islanders are looking to party like it's 1993 tonight. They can clinch their series and move on to the second round of the playoffs if they beat the Pittsburgh Penguins at the Nassau Coliseum tonight in Game 6. This would be the first time since 1993 that the Isles would clinch a series on home ice, on Nassau Coliseum ice. Capacity at the arena is expected to increase to 9,000 fans from the 6,800 that were in attendance for games 2 and 3. Here's Barry Trotz talking about the increased number of fans in the stands.
It'll be louder. It'll be a great atmosphere. It'll be fun. It was a great atmosphere last game. I'll make a call to the governor, see if he can open it right up for us, get all our fans in there.
Puck drops at 6:30 on Long Island. The Nets, they take a 2-0 series lead, winning game 2 of their best-of-7 series with the Celtics, 130-108. Kevin Durant leading the way with 26 points. Joe Harris putting up a career playoff high of 25 points, in which included a 15-point first quarter. You had James Harden adding 20 of his own, and Kyrie Irving having 15 points as well. Game 3 moves to Boston against the Celtics. That's on Friday. And a great story for the New York Knicks as they prepare for Game 2 tonight against the Atlanta Hawks. Julius Randle being named the NBA's most improved player. And what makes this story so much fun, Frank and Juliet, is the fact that it was his son that walked out onto the court yesterday at practice giving him the award.
I was surprised my dad was most worried.
What do you have there, Daddy?
A trophy.
Whose trophy?
My dad's.
That's Kaiden Randle. He presented the award at Madison Square Garden the other day to his dad, Julius Randle. Congratulations to them. Game 2 again tonight at the Garden. This sports report is brought to you by Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do make America's best boilers. With sports at 15 and 45 on the WABC Early News, I'm Christian Arnold.
I love kids when they're that age. They're so cute.
It was adorable. There's a video up online as well, him walking out onto the court, everyone clapping. It was a lot of fun.
Aw, that's cool. All right, well, we don't have Sid here today. I guess it's just Bernie? Okay.
That's right. Well, I will give you a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid Show in just a minute. But first, here's Joe Nolan to give you a preview of the traffic.
Hi, New York State Thruway. Southbound still backed up coming down to the Garden State Parkway connector. Tractor-trailer accident with injuries. Two left lanes are going to be only open as you come southbound. So this looks like it might be with us for a little while at least. So as you head southbound on the Thruway, you've got that. Outbound George Washington Bridge, there was an earlier disabled tractor-trailer in the left lane on the outbound side. Looks like that might be gone. Westbound then on 80, out by Route 206 at exit 27, there's a collision. And then southbound Route 9, we still have that one lane out at least coming down to the Garden State Parkway. down pole, down wires. Alternate side of the street parking rules again today are in effect. This report, a service of Liberty Mutual Insurance. Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you can pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe, from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. It's going to be a pretty rough day. Partly cloudy in the early afternoon, followed by scattered thunderstorms. Few of these storms could be severe. They could last into the evening. We're going to have a high of 88 today. Cools off this evening, but then we get into the 80s again tomorrow, although it won't be as humid. So it should be a pretty nice day tomorrow. Unfortunately, I'm looking now, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, rain, rain, rain. We should have breaks.
No,
yeah.
I mean, the Jersey Shore Friday and Coney Island's Saturday.
Well, Friday, it's looking like partly cloudy skies during the morning, cloudy skies, rain in the afternoon, high of 66. Rain through the evening Friday night. Sunday, we're going to have a Saturday, rather, 60 degrees and showers in the morning, cloudy in the afternoon, just 60. So it's going to be very chilly. Sunday, 64 degrees will be the high. Cloudy skies early, few showers developing later on in the day through the evening. Monday, though, looks nice. Intervals of clouds and sunshine, 72. Couldn't have a more perfect day. But wait, so 64 cloudy skies on Sunday. I'm flying back on Sunday.
Okay. All right.
Well, I hope I make it.
It will be interesting.
Oh, I hope I'm not delayed.
You're going to be fine. Oh. Fine.
Oh,
yeah, better be fine because I'm off Monday.
I know, I know you are.
Do the job of both of us on Monday.
I guess I could do it from my, the airport, I guess.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so currently right now it is 65 degrees in Manhattan.
Let me tell you what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. But first, let me tell you what's happening in the world of business. Oil prices are steady after word that crude inventories fell last week. International benchmark Brent crude is up 20 cents a barrel to $68.85, and West Texas Intermediate crude is up 3 cents to $66.10 a barrel. Both Brent and WTI ended yesterday's trading at their highest level in a week. The U.S. crude stocks fell by 439,000 barrels last week, according to figures from the American Petroleum Institute that were released yesterday. In terms of stock futures, Wall Street futures are up after a market rally stalled yesterday. Dow futures are up 83 points, close to 0.25%. S&P 500 futures are up 11.25. And NASDAQ futures are up 31.75. All three averages closed down yesterday after earlier gains were wiped out.
So what is coming up today on Bernie and Sid? What do you know about this?
Well, you're going to get a Bernie solo show, which is always a treat because there's not going to be any talk of the Real Housewives of Sheboygan. This is going to be 3.5 hours of red meat for people that are interested in hardcore news and analysis discussion. So Bernie solo is, I know he likes working with Sid and vice versa, but it's like setting an animal free in the wilderness. So that's going to be interesting. Just that sort of dynamic. In terms of guests, they are having on my congresswoman, actually, Nicole Malliotakis at 7:40, the person I first persuaded to run for office 11 years ago.
Is that right?
That is right. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So are you guys close?
We're not as close as we were when we 20 years ago when we were making our bones politically together. But I think that's largely a function of our work schedule. Mm-hmm. But yes, she was at our wedding, and I consider her a close friend, and I think she would consider me the same.
That's great. Oh.
So she's going to be on. No other guests, but they're going to be all over this Andrew Yang story as well.
Well, I hope he's also all over the Trump story. I mean, this is major heat on the president.
It's going to be interesting to see where that goes.
When you convene a grand jury, that's a big step forward in an investigation.
And chances are, if it's a grand jury convened of Manhattan residents, which this one is, it's not likely to include many Trump supporters. And a grand jury, unlike a Pettit jury, doesn't need to be unanimous. You just need a majority. So if you have a 90% Biden voting electorate in the grand jury, and hopefully they make the decisions based on the evidence, not anything else.
Yes, I mean, that's exactly it.
It's always tough to put political considerations aside. You only need a majority of them to say, yes, we're indicting this person.
And yes, they will be looking at other cases that have nothing to do with President Trump. But I, you know, I just wonder what's going on in the Trump houses all around the all around Florida at this point, because they've all moved down there. So hopefully Bernie will get into that as well. Meantime, John Cena is in such, he's just getting such heat. But there's another celebrity that's also getting heat. Comedian Seth Rogen caused a, I would say, a mild ruckus on Good Morning Britain yesterday. First, he went on a rant about how he smokes weed all day, every day. That's his quote. And then he told the breakfast audience a cute story about his grandmother. She's a tough lady who he shines the spotlight on in his curse-filled autobiography.
She was a tough lady. Before I moved to L.A., her advice to me was give those sons of bitches hell. I'll never forget that.
So apparently that language was a bit strong for the hosts.
It's a terrific read. Thank you for being with us.
It is. With strong language. Cheers. With strong language from the very beginning.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think, and he did use some strong language during that interview.
Oh, gosh.
So apologies
yes.
for that.
Yes.
Oh, my.
This is the Susanna Reid. She's the one that worked with Piers Morgan.
Of course.
All
she
those
did.
Years.
Of course.
Oh, my God. It's like, what? I mean, good Lord. Rogan's yearbook is available now, by the way. I heard it's very funny. But that just makes me laugh.
Yeah, me too.
It's very different from
and you couldn't,
Americans.
You couldn't see it in that interview there, but on screen, Bob Sellers actually walked off that show as well.
Oh, Bob.
Yeah.
Love Bob.
Me too. All right. Well, before we get out of here, let me tell you a little bit about what's happening with COVID and Russia. The family of an American who's being held prisoner in Russia says he contracted COVID after Russian officials denied him the vaccine. Trevor Reed's family said yesterday that the 30-year-old Marine veteran developed fever and cough symptoms last Monday, and he's now lost his sense of smell. His parents, who live near Fort Worth, Texas, says he was taken to court and the judge refused to order any additional medical tests or treatment. Reed was arrested in 2019 and sentenced last July to 9 years in prison on a charge of assaulting a police officer, which he denies. The U.S. ambassador to Russia called Reed's trial theater of the absurd.
Hmm. Well, that's lovely. I always want to go to, you know, I really would love to go to Russia. I'd love to go to St. Petersburg.
Let's arrange a Fruliet trip there.
That would be great. I just worry about some of the things that I've said on the air. Like, would that ever get back to them or tweeted?
That's why we're going to go together, because I've been much friendlier to the current Russian government than you have. So we balance one another
out.
My
brother does work for RT.
Oh, exactly. So please, he'll get us.
I know, but
get us dinner with Putin.
Yeah, right. So anyway, tomorrow is my last day. Well, just for the week, because I'm off on Friday.
Well,
I'll be down
you.
In Miami. But I will be here tomorrow.
Great.
And I will be heading out. You will take care of it. I'm sure you're going to do a great job.
It's going to be a dumpster fire. Christian is going to be riding that dump button to make sure none of my opinions get out there during this 90 minutes. Believe me.
You're going to be very busy with lots of stories.
That's
though,
for sure.
Unfortunately.
I'm going to try that seven stories in 77 seconds
yeah, I think,
approach.
I like that.
Me too.
Right? Okay, good. Because it gives you just enough information.
Absolutely.
You know? But you don't. We can expand on it.
We're also limiting Joe Nolan's traffic reports to only 77 seconds.
That's right. And speaking of, here's traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan.
7 seconds. I never go that long, ever. South Bend, New York State Thruway, bumper to bumper, approaching the Garden State Parkway connector. Track trailer accident there with injuries. Two left lanes are going to be open. Now, outbound George Washington Bridge, that truck is gone. Southbound on the Garden State Parkway, we continue to have that accident as you get on down to the area of Route 9, again, down pole, down wires. And on Route 80 westbound, coming into exit 27, which is Route 206, again, we continue to have ourselves some issues there with ongoing problems with an accident as right as you get to 206 and go to get off, we're going to have that issue. Now, other than that, though, we're good. Mass transit's good. Same thing coming in from the island. Everybody rolling right along. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations are in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan. Talk Radio 77 WABC.